Now, I'd just like to finish up here by looking at about seven other references to Timothy in Paul's letters, either directly to Timothy himself, or most of these will be to other assemblies in which Timothy had a part in laboring and working with them. And I think we have some, again, some interesting things to learn. And we'll kind of take these in the order that they appear in the New Testament. So first of all, turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And we'll see what this mentions about Timothy. Romans chapter 16 and verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, I didn't say that authoritatively, greet you. Okay. Now here we see him again. Notice that interesting phrase. It's a tremendously interesting phrase. A fellow worker. A fellow worker. How often conflicts in the Lord's work could be avoided if each of us saw ourselves as fellow workers. Not the chief worker, but fellow workers. And I just say this, you know, I'm not trying to strike out at anybody or anything. I'm saying this to myself. It's something always remember when you become involved in any work for God. I'm not the chief worker. I'm a fellow worker. This can solve a lot of problems. First of all, it'll save you a lot of distress in that you realize you're not in this alone. You know, it's not solely your responsibility. If it falls apart, it's not just, you know, your responsibility. You're in it with others. But it also means that you don't always want your own way. You don't always, you know, want things just to go the way you've planned them. You're a fellow worker, not the chief worker. Now, Paul could use that term of Timothy, and I'm sure Timothy was that type of person, as we stated before in the first session. And it's a good, you know, it's a real practical lesson for all of us to learn. It would solve so much conflict and so much that happens so many times in assemblies, in the Lord's work, in other things, if we realize we are fellow workers. We're not more important than others. We're just one of a number that the Lord has raised up to accomplish His work. Now let's go over next to 1 Corinthians. And I want to look at two references to Timothy here in 1 Corinthians. First one is in chapter 4, in verse 17. For this reason, he says in 1 Corinthians 4:17, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, I just want to put the emphasis here again. I'm sure if this was an open Bible study and we were getting some thoughts here, there's many different thoughts we come up with on this verse. I just want to put emphasis on this phrase, he's my beloved and faithful son. I want to stress the word faithful. Today, we lack faithful workers, those who are willing to stick it out, to stay with the stuff, regardless of what occurs, regardless of what the disappointments are, regardless of how let down we feel, regardless of how neglected we feel, to be faithful. You know, it's easy to be faithful when you're praised. It's easy to be faithful when everything goes well. It's easy to be faithful when everything falls in place. But you know, I mean, I know you know this. You've experienced this as I have. Faithfulness comes tough when things aren't going well. Faithfulness comes tough when things seem to be falling apart. Faithfulness comes tough when you seem to be neglected, you know. And he could say of Timothy, who had served by this time, by the time he wrote this letter to the saints at Corinthian, at Corinth, this was another missionary journey, and that had transplanted. He had enough time to be with Timothy, to observe him, to see him in various circumstances and situations, and he could say, you know, Timothy's a faithful son. He's faithful. He's been put through the test. I've seen him in various circumstances. I've seen him in difficulties. I've seen him in dealing with problems. And he sticks it out. He sticks to it. This is a point we all need to emphasize in our Christian life, I think, right now, because we live in a society, in a culture where faithfulness is a strange word. People don't stick to things. You know, we don't. We quickly abandon things. We quickly run away from things if we get tired of them, or if they don't suit us, or if it's not convenient, or if it doesn't work out, or if it's, you know, we live in a society of convenience. And to find a faithful man or woman is not easy to find today. And yet God can enable you to be that kind of a person, just as he did Timothy. I mean, why was Timothy faithful? Because God enabled him. God gave him the strength and the ability to be faithful, to be there when needed. Now also in 1 Corinthians, if you go to the last chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to notice verse 10. Just interesting, isn't it, the way, excuse me, Timothy is presented to us in the New Testament. We just get little highlights of him here and there, don't we? They're just sprinkled all over the place in the epistles. But there's no, you know, there's no one whole chapter dealing just with Timothy. It's just, here it is, here it's mentioned, here it's mentioned. There it's mentioned, you know. And yet, these glimpses, you could call them, of Timothy, give us a very solid idea of the kind of servant and the kind of person Timothy was, and more importantly, how God was able to use this young man and develop him into the kind of servant he was. Chapter 16, verse 10. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Tremendous verse when you think about it. Paul was an apostle at this point in his life who, yes, there's no doubt about it, he had enemies. He had people that hated him. You can't serve the Lord and not have people hate you. I mean, this is true, and Paul certainly did. But on the other hand, he also had, you know, he had a name that became well known. Let's face it, Paul had been all over Asia Minor. He had been all over Europe. He had been a man greatly used of God. He was greatly respected and looked up to by many, many of the brethren. And he says of Timothy, he does the work of the Lord as I do, you know. Isn't that a remarkable statement? You know, so often we will look at somebody who perhaps has a very well-known name, you know, and say, oh, you know, Brother so-and-so's coming today, you know, and well, I know, you know, he's really doing the work of the Lord. The Lord's used him. And we should have that kind of respect. I'm not doubting that at all. We should have respect for the Lord's servants. When the Lord's servants have served for many, many years and they become known, and the Lord has used them, and we should have a great respect for what they've done. But we also shouldn't look down on someone else who perhaps isn't as well known, you know, and who hasn't been around, and his name, you know, hasn't been known. And that's what basically Paul's telling them here, isn't he, in Corinth? He's saying, now don't you look down on Timothy. Don't make him be afraid to be among you. He's doing the work of the Lord just as I am. In other words, God has given him a work to do just as he's given me a work to do. And you respect him not for who he is, but for the work that he's doing. That's what we learn here, isn't it? It's for the work that he was doing that he was to be respected. He was coming among them to be used of the Lord. And we must recognize this. You know, sometimes we might be very disappointed. We're expecting maybe Brother so-and-so to be the speaker or to be the director or to be the leader or something. And he couldn't make it for some reason. He got sick or had to be away or something. And we kind of experience that great letdown, don't we? Think, oh, you know, oh, who's the, oh, oh, that brother? Oh, he, you know. And we forget it's the work they're doing. The Lord can use that brother who's unknown just as well as he can use that brother that's known. And we must fervently believe this, because if we do, you see, we give to that brother a courage, a strength, and a help ourselves so that God can use him in our midst. He can use him in our midst. And so it's very important for us to be encouraging in this way. And Timothy, again, what a privileged man Timothy was. He got that encouragement, didn't he? From a man such as Paul. Paul encouraged him in the work of the Lord. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians. And he's mentioned here again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 19. This is an interesting the way he's used here. It's most interesting way in which it's done. For the Son of God, 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. And we notice here that Paul had a confidence that Timothy preached an uncompromising gospel just as he did. He wasn't always in Timothy's audience to hear him preach. In fact, probably seldom was he. But he was convinced that when Timothy preached among them, he preached an uncompromising gospel. Was not yes and no, but in him was yes. In other words, there was that about Timothy that he had learned from Paul. You don't compromise the truth. You don't compromise the truth to please your audience. You don't compromise the truth to please an assembly. You don't compromise the truth to please others. You teach the truth as you were taught it, because it is the truth. It's the truth that comes from God. And I believe that Timothy was that kind of an individual. I think he was very uncompromising as far as teaching the truth was concerned. I think he saw the truth as a very important treasure that was given to him. It was passed on to him. And of course, much of the truth we must remember that Timothy received, since he was in childhood, was unwritten. It was spoken truth that he was taught by Paul. who had received special revelations from God. So we see then that truth was, first of all, a growth with Timothy. Yes, he learned the scriptures from childhood, but he didn't stop learning them. He had to keep on learning, didn't he? There were truths that Paul received by special revelation that had to be taught to Timothy. He didn't learn those when he was a child. So truth was a growth to him. He never stopped learning truth. He kept on learning it. And then when he learned it, he didn't compromise it. In fact, he couldn't have kept learning it if he had compromised it. Do you know that? You stop learning truth when you start to compromise it. God only reveals further truth to those who hold the truth that they already have been given. And if we don't hold on to the truth we've been given, we're not going to get new truth. And so Timothy was that kind of person. He relished the word of God. He relished the truth, and Paul could have this confidence in him. And this is what he taught. I think that's a very precious truth from the Word of God for you and I in the days in which we live. There's a lot of compromising going on out there. And it's basically going on because we don't want to be known as being hard-nosed, as being, you know, stuffy, being people, you know, who won't get along with others, and et cetera, et cetera. And so as a result, we try many times to, in order to appeal to people, we will water down, we will soften certain truths that we know are there, and they should not be compromised. And Timothy was that kind of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on from 2 Corinthians over to Philippians again. We, of course, saw the introduction to Philippians, that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, but he's referred to here quite extensively in comparison to shorter portions that are often given of him. In verse 19 of the second chapter of Philippians, I think it's very important that before we even read verse 19 of the second chapter, that let's just stop for a minute and think, no, wait, now, what is Philippians 2 talking about? What's our chapter content? Well, we're talking about humility, aren't we? We're talking about the Lord Jesus, who was willing to be made in the form of man, who was willing to become a servant, and we're being told that we should have that same kind of a mind. So humility is our subject, which apparently was a problem there in Philippi. Apparently there was some esteeming themselves as other better than others. It was causing some discord in the assembly. And so Paul's making an appeal for humility. And so in comes Timothy here in verse 19. And he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. There was a concern, wasn't there, about their state. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Timothy to know about it. And we know he was concerned about perhaps a lack of humility in this assembly. So if you were concerned, if you knew that the lack of humility was a problem, would you then send a servant who was proud and didn't know humility? No, hardly. That's not the man you would choose for that responsibility. So he says, I'm sending Timothy, for he says in verse 20, I have no one like-minded. What was one of the problems in this assembly? Well, go back to verse 2. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. They weren't being like-minded. They had differing opinions here. and they apparently were slashing out at each other over these differences of opinions. He's saying, I'm sending Timothy among you, for I have no one like-minded. Timothy was like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own. That's pride, isn't it? All are seeking their own thing. You know, it's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. I'll do my own thing and I'll do it my way. All seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But, he says, you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Now I see this phrase here, he will sincerely care. He has a proven character. Isn't that an interesting word? A proven character. Do you remember, let's go back there again. Remember he said, your mother, Eunice, had a genuine faith, meaning she wasn't hypocritical. And he says, remember your grandmother, Lois, she had a genuine faith. What's he saying here now about Timothy? You have a proven character. He's a man of proven character. He doesn't fake it. You know, pride, a person who's seeking their own, a person who's wanting to do things to be noticed, is a proud person. And they put on. They pretend to be what they're not. That's what pride does. We want to come across, you know, being, you know, up here somewhere. And so we put on. Now, he's saying Timothy's not that kind of a person. He has a proven character. He served with me. He's sincere. He's seeking the things which are Christ. He's not trying to elevate himself. He wants to elevate Jesus Christ. He wants to be unseen. He wants Jesus Christ to be seen. He wants you to see Christ through him. He doesn't want you to see Timothy. He wants you to see Christ. What greater commendation could man have than what's being given to Timothy here? You think about it. Isn't it true? I mean, the more you meditate on these words, just a lovely commendation. We see how God had developed this man, Timothy. How you know, he had gone through many trials and difficulties and problems, and how God used it to shape his character. He gave him a proven character. And after all, isn't that what God is trying to do with you and I as his servants? He's trying to shape it's our character. It's our inner man he's working with. And so he lets us go through many of the problems and the difficulties and the things, you know, that would tend to get us really discouraged and upset. These are the things that are shaping us and giving us a proven character. Now, let's go over to 1 Timothy. We've looked at a number of verses in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. But let's look at another one here in chapter 5. This kind of gives an interesting touch to Timothy. Verse 22, here's the verse that Steve was just quoting to me when I was going to lay hands on Tom. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Verse 22 of 1 Timothy 5. Nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Paul's telling Timothy this. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent illnesses. What an interesting touch in Timothy's life. He was a man who dealt with frequent illnesses. He knew what it was to have infirmities of the body. Who knows, maybe most of them were brought on through the work of the Lord, through things that he encountered. He probably met enough ordinary people, but it was enough to make him sick. And Paul's giving him a little practical advice here, to use a little wine for his stomach's sake. Certainly, he's not recommending that he get drunk. He says, keep yourself pure. Never told us to use wine in excess. But he's recognizing that Timothy did have a physical infirmity. And he's kindly telling Timothy how to take care of himself. We need this too, don't we? In the Christian walk. We need to be aware that we do have physical weaknesses, physical infirmities, every one of us do. We need to be considerate of this, considerate of one another. God enables us to go through pain and sickness so that we might understand other people when they go through pain and sickness. Isn't that true? None of us would really be very good at serving the Lord if we didn't understand what it is to go through pain and sickness. Because it's so much a part of life, isn't it? And so Timothy shared in this as well. In conclusion, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. This will be my last verse. We have an interesting touch here as we kind of close out the life of Timothy as far as the New Testament is concerned. Paul says in verse 23, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Now that phrase, set free, has been set free, makes a very clear terminology that Timothy had been in prison. Just like Paul had been in prison. So Timothy not only knew physical infirmities, he knew what it was to suffer for the gospel. He knew what it was to pay a price. He had been shut up in prison for his testimony. We don't know the details. We don't know when it happened. We don't know how it happened. We don't know how long it was. But he did go through suffering for Christ. Every servant of God will know what this is, right? In days ahead, we don't know, but that there may not be a great deal more of this. We've been somewhat privileged in this country. We haven't had to suffer much for Christ. But we may be called upon to do so. And it's part of God's training us that as good servants we might be able to accept suffering when it goes and to go on. And we do know that Timothy did go on. He didn't quit after he had left prison. He was encouraged and he went on and continued to serve the Lord. And I think with that I'm going to stop. I think that gives us a glimpse of Timothy's life, and I think it's many challenging exhortations there for us. We'll give thanks for the food at this time. Our Father, we do again wish to thank you for raising up Timothy to be your servant, that you could take a man made of clay and you could use him. And Lord, you're doing the same thing today. We thank you for each and every one here at this Bible study. And we know you've picked them up and you're using them. And you've got a purpose for them. And it just thrills us to know that you're doing this, Lord. That you're still using us in your way. Each one in different ways, but you have a design and a purpose for each of us. Thank you. We thank you now for the food that has been prepared by kind hands. We thank you that we can fellowship and enjoy the food together as we do all of your blessings. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.